I'd like to ask you to turn again to John 13:35. John 13, verse 34 and 35. This series originated from Jesus' words. John 13:34. And I remind us that this was the night before Christ would die on the cross for the people that he was talking to. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as is the word just as, or exactly like I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this we'll all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Today's message is the final message of the series, I Love Christ Church, and its purpose is to help people see, help you see, that the church, that is us, impacts our community with the gospel of Christ. Our love for one another in our church will also spread and impact the community with the gospel. If we love one another, all people will know what? That we're his disciples. And I believe it will beautify, or the right word, enhance the gospel of Jesus, the gospel being Christ died for our sins, was put into the tomb, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then he was seen by many witnesses. The gospel of Christ is his death for our sins, the burial, and his resurrection. And when we love one another, I believe people will see that. By the way, there are people here today who saw this church in action outside the church singing at Faith Day, remember? That's what Debbie Wolford said. Debbie came to this church seeing our church serving outside the walls. And there may be others here who learned of Grace Church through the ministry outside of the walls. Now, saying I love Christ Church isn't just about us, though. It doesn't just impact us. It's about everyone outside these walls. It's about everyone. When we love one another, the world will see that we are Christians by our love, right? That's what he said. Jesus said that. Now, you go to a restaurant experience, and I don't know about you, but I've been to more than one restaurants that they had a really nice environment, great environment, but the food wasn't worth it. Just wasn't good. Wasn't good enough. And then I've been to restaurants where the taste of the food is good and the atmosphere is nice, and it equals an experience that I remember. Honestly, I have a situation, and it's a very personal illustration, but during the time when the church was honoring Diane and I for our 20 years here, man, I'll tell you, I was really overwhelmed by the different variety of gifts that were given to us. Everything from washing and detailing my wife's car, and planting an apple tree in my backyard after I had just cut down a tree the fall before. That's a true story. Ken Walker's not here to verify that. He helped me cut it down. But somebody gave me an apple tree. I don't know if they even knew I needed a tree back there. I had to buy a tree, but they had an apple tree for me. But one of the really most touching gifts was somebody took Diane and I to dinner. And he took us to a restaurant, and we had such a good time, but the meal, the person that waited on us knew the people we were with. And they treated us like royalty. It was really a wonderful dinner, a wonderful environment, and it left me saying, wow, that was a great experience. And I want you to know that it's the same way with our testimony to the world. By what they, the taste that they taste when they come into church or when they see us outside, or the taste when they see your life at your place of work. And the atmosphere equals a good experience. And we're going to talk about that today. You're happy by a good experience. You tell people about your experience. We're talking about love and sharing this morning, sharing Jesus. Here's the question we have to consider as we conclude our series. And this is a very important question. How do people outside of this church wall, how do they experience Jesus? And they should experience Jesus by seeing your life. By seeing your life in front of them, how do people come to know this new life with God? I can honestly say that a great story that I'll share later, but we apply this to I Love My Church. Jesus has given us new lives where he's broken down our personal fences and connected our lives into a new community, the church, that he is creating. This new life in this community of Christians, and in a broader sense, his kingdom, was meant to be lived that the world would see the love that God has for all humanity. Now, I wanted you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to turn it. I always add some stuff because it points out their point. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, you must know that God wants to reach every one of those people outside there. God wants every one of the people in your circle of influence to be saved. He wants them to be saved. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, or excuse me, chapter 2, and look at verse, I'm sorry, it's 1 Timothy. I apologize. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. Now he talks about prayer for them. And it's good that we pray for our loved ones and our neighbors and our children. It's good that we pray for the people that we work with. Why is it good? Why is it good to pray for people? Here it is. Because God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and there's only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now God gave his son, and he wants all people to be saved through him. God wants us to pray for the people in our circle of influence. I had a friend in my last church. His name was Frank. I won't share his last name. But Frank was a man that was saved out of a life of deep sin. And now he was in his 60s. He had retired from New York State and came to Montrose to work at the Bible Conference. He and his wife, the second wife. But Frank had a guy, Carl, and every day, 5 days a week, they went to work together to the post office. And every day, Frank would witness to his friend Carl about Jesus Christ. Now, Carl was a practicing Catholic who loved his religion. He witnessed to Carl for 11 years. And finally, one day, God opened Carl's eyes. But Frank lived in such a way, And he witnessed in such a way that it changed the way Carl saw his need of Jesus Christ. Now, as we conclude this series today, how do we help people to come to know and experience the kingdom of God? I want you to turn to Matthew now, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, this is in a Sermon of the Mount. It was on a hillside in Galilee. And Jesus spoke these words, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how can it be get its flavor back? It can't. It's like pouring out something on the ground. You can't put it back in the bottle. But you're the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is good for nothing at that point but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of man." What they did with salt that had lost its saltiness is if they had a pathway that they wanted to kill the grass, they'd put the salt on that pathway and people would tramp on it. And it would kill and make a pathway. It was good for nothing but for that. And then he says, "Jesus, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, how do we get people to hear and discover God's love in Christ? We love one another just as he loved us. Now, let me catch us up here. You are the salt of the earth. Who's Jesus talking to when he says you? All believers, right? You. You're the salt of the earth. And when he says you are the light of the world, he's talking about us as believers in Christ, right? He's talking about you and me. We are salt and we are light. Now, he says then, let your light. Who's he talking to? Let your light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your life, your works of love, and glorify our Father in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. You. Salt enhances the flavor of food. You ever have food? You ever have a potato and it needs salt? How many of you put salt in your potatoes? Anybody doesn't put salt on their potato? Two? Three? I'm counting. Most people put salt and pepper on their potatoes. Butter, salt. Why do they do that? To give it flavor. Why does God tell us that we're the salt of the earth? Because it gives the gospel what? Flavor. Taste. And so, how are we going to share Jesus with other people? And it's by our living like he would live. And people taste that. And I'm going to tell you something. When you taste a real Christian, when the world, and I'm talking about myself, when I tasted a real Christian, I said, there's something different there. There's something about, and they invited me to church Please hear this. Those salt shakers invited me to church. And I'm here today because they invited me. And because they lived in such a way that when they invited me to church, I was happy to go. Now, I had been invited by somebody else a week earlier. Ford is a church-going place. But their life didn't match an invitation to church. And I'm talking serious, didn't match. Now, I don't mean to sound like I'm judging, but I think you get the point. We are salt. We, by our lives, enhance the taste of the food that people will taste from us. And of course, salt also preserves meat from rotting. Back then, there was no refrigerators. You surely understand that. And they would salt the meat so that it would have preservatives. By the way, how many of you eat food with preservatives in it? Every one of you. Unless you are really extreme food eater. You're the light of the world. You're light. You are a light. And what does light do? Light serves to illuminate darkness, doesn't it? Light serves to illuminate darkness. And Jesus, this whole world is in darkness. In fact, when it says when he came into the world, a light shined out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you'd turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And by the way, it is just critical that we understand that people need light. What is the light here? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but even if our gospel it is veiled or hidden or unrevealed, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded. The God of this age has blinded who do not believe in Jesus, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God, the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel of Christ is a personal thing, and unless God shines the light of the gospel into your heart, giving you illumination to see Jesus died for your sins that you could be forgiven. And there's only one mediator between God and man. The only way you'll ever get to God is through Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross, and then through his resurrection and through his ascension to the Father's right hand. And you must believe and trust in Jesus the Christ. That's the light of the gospel. So here you see, you're the light of the world, and the gospel is the light. And what does light do? It illuminates darkness. Now, back then, they didn't have electricity. How many of you knew that? I'm kidding. They didn't have electricity. They couldn't flip a switch, so they would lit an oil candle. And you know what? When they lit that candle, they didn't leave it on the floor to be. Where did they put it? Up so it would give light. Right? The whole purpose of a light is to shine and to illuminate darkness. And by the way, light will always overcome darkness. Darkness cannot overcome light. And so Christ came into the world as a light of the world, that whoever would believe in him, he would give them eternal life. The life was the light of men. And that's why he came into the world, to give you light, and that your life would shine by the way you live, by the way you talk, by the way you act at work. And I'm going to be honest with you. This is reality. Our testimonies are seen every day at our place of work. Amen, Bill? Every day at work, you shine as a light, or you hide your light under a basket. Now, who in the world would hide a light under a basket? Who would put a candle under a basket? Duh, that's the stupidest saying. You know, there was no electricity back in Jesus' day. There isn't nobody who would light a candle that was his purpose to give light and then stick a wash tub over it or a basket over it. No, they put it up so it gives light, and you're a light, or you're not a light because you're hiding your Christ-like, your Christ life. You're hiding it because maybe you're not. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're not truly a Christian. And you know it, and you're ashamed. I would encourage you to come out and believe in Christ and confess him openly. For whosoever believes in him should not, not be ashamed. And so, how do we bring light? How do we bring I Love Christ Church experience to our community and culture? People will experience Jesus' community when we live Jesus' value. By the way, it's interesting to me that Jesus gave his values in the Beatitudes, didn't he? His values in Matthew chapter 5, they're right there. The values that he wants us to seek in our life: righteousness, purity of heart, being a peacemaker, being merciful. Are you a merciful person to your boss? Are you merciful? Say, I don't like my boss. I don't like the person I... I work with a bunch of idiots. Don't tell me you haven't said that. No, I know many of you haven't, but seriously, the people you work with will see your heart's attitude. And you know what? Sometimes you just need to go against what somebody else comes to you to complain about and just say, it'll be all right. Don't worry, don't sweat the small stuff. Just do your job. They may not come to you to complain again, but you've left an indelible impression about something in your life. And by the way, when you go to tell them you're a Christian, they'll see it by what? By your love. They'll see it by the way you live, by the way you talk, by the way you act. And it's just so important. It's just so very important. We live the values of Jesus' community in our everyday, ordinary life. And that's where people watch. And as I said, you know what drew me to these ladies that I worked with? long-haired, you know my story, 21-year-old, hippie, lost, engulfed by the world, loving the world and every second of it, and drugs and alcohol and bars. Why did I go to church? Because when the boss would call these girls, these ladies, every filthy name in the book, and they could do that back then, 1974, they could talk as filthy as they wanted to talk, and they could fire you just like that. And there was nobody to complain to. But you know what? Those ladies never said a bad word about that guy. At least not to me. Or I didn't see them talking to themselves. They just did their job. And then one day they said, "Sparky, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? Would you go to heaven?" And I said, "Nope, I'd go straight to hell." And then they said, "You know, you don't have to." Nobody had ever asked me that question and penetrated my darkness. It wasn't Billy Graham. It was just Alma Taylor. That's who it was. Just a common, ordinary woman. And I'm just trying to say to you that you, by your values, and this is convicting, but you show Christ. Now, he gives, in this message, he gives an illustration of the guy. I think he was Oriental. I'm not sure, Korean, Japanese. The guy drank, I don't know how much, soy sauce. Soy sauce is 90% salt. No, it isn't. I don't know what it is, really. But he drank a whole bottle, whether it was a gallon or something, and he went into a coma. He went into a coma, almost died. But he had a dare that somebody dared him to drink this much soy sauce. But it was so much salt that he almost died. Now, sometimes Christians can be so strong as salt that they kill or they totally turn off people from the gospel. You've heard of Westboro Baptist Church. This is their protest outside of Beau Biden's funeral when he died of cancer. Thank God for dead soldiers. God hates your whatever it is, and God hates Obama. Sin and shame. But and this next one makes it a little bit. God hates you. Now, God hates adulterers. Does God hate adultery? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Does God hate homosexuality? Yes, he does. Does God hate lying? Yes, he does. I'm sure there's some liars holding those signs up. But my point is, there is a nobody repenting of their sins and believing in Jesus Christ at these protests. All they are is drinking a gallon of soy sauce. They're not real. What they're saying has some validity, but God also loves the adulterer. God loves the homosexual. God loves the liar, the thief. God loves the person, even who hates another person. He hates what they're doing, but he loves the person. Now, number three, those who have truly experienced Jesus will want to help others experience Jesus. Amen? I mean, really. When I experienced Jesus, you know what I did? You know what I did, because I've told you a million times. I went out and told everybody. I went and had barbecue at the blacks, and they make great barbecue, the black folks. went and had barbecue. And there was a guy in a suit coat that I worked with. He's in a suit. I've told you the story. And I said, "Hey, I got saved today." He said, "Oh, that's nice." And I said, "Nice? That's great." You know, I didn't even know what had happened to me. All I knew is my sins were forgiven, and I had believed in Jesus, and I had a feeling that was, I wouldn't have shouted from the mountaintop. I'd have told the president. I'd have told everybody. I wrote my parents and told them how sorry I was for what I had done. And my dad came down to Florida to find out if I turned into a Mooney. That's true. True. Within a week, my dad was in Florida because he was afraid I'd fallen into a crazy group. It's true. It's still true. But we want to tell everybody. And by the way, who's it say should tell everybody? Preachers? Sparky Garthwaite's? Everybody. Everybody. And I remind us of Paul when he said, "I am a debtor. I'm in debt." You know, you're in debt to the people that you work with. You have a debt. You have a debt. You know what that debt is? To tell them about Jesus. You have a debt to pay them. And then he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's a power, it is the power of God to everyone who believes." Now, Paul was writing that as a Christian to the most powerful people in all the world, the city of Rome. People of prominence, people of power, people of influence, movers and shakers of New York City, executives. But he says, "I'm not ashamed to give them the gospel, for it's the power of God that can save their eternal soul." Are you ashamed of the gospel? Am I ashamed of the gospel? I close in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll close. You know, I hope you noticed how good Pastor Aaron was in preaching and that he spoke shorter than me. I hope you noticed that. That's a good indication I think you should think about. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." New, guys. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Now, who is us there? Is that the pastors? Is that just Roy? Or Sparky? Is that just preachers? Who's he given the ministry of reconciliation to? All of us. We're all debtors to the people around us. We're in debt to them. We owe them the gospel. Verse 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he has made him who knew no sin. He has made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's all grace. That's not something you do. That's something Christ did, and you have to believe in him as your Lord and Savior. Yes, recognize that your way is wrong, your lifestyle is wrong, your drunkenness is wrong, your drug use is wrong, your stealing is wrong, your lying is wrong, your adultery is wrong. But Christ died for our sins, all of them, on that cross. And he arose the third day. And we have to believe in our heart. God shines that light of the gospel into our heart, and we have to believe. And when we believe, we are born again. Born, old things pass away, all things become new. Right? You're the ambassador, not just Roy. You are the ambassador. It is your responsibility to be light and salt to the people you work with. And you owe them a debt. You owe every one of your circle of influence a debt. Jesus. Are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? As you go out today, I need some ushers. As you go out today, I want you to, every one of you, to take one of these and start paying your debts. You know, if you owed a debt to the bank for your car, you'd pay it, or you'd lose your car. You won't lose your salvation, but you owe every person that's in your circle of influence the gospel. So on your way out, Dave, if you could get some people, could we get some volunteers? Rob, would you help us? Anybody go out there? There's a bucket of tracks out there. And I tell you what, Brandon, why don't you help them too? Pass out these tracks, if you don't mind. Go ahead out and help them. And every person, and you don't have to take it, but it's there for you to pass on to somebody who needs Christ. Now, my wife, the Lymans, the Wachters, and others, the Moores, one day at a restaurant, I left a tract to a waitress. That waitress remembered us months later. She had read the tract and given her life to Christ and was in church. I'm saying to you, Jesus said, go out and throw the seed everywhere. Throw it everywhere. Some will land on thorny hearts. Some will land on hard hearts. But some will land on good hearts that are ready to receive Christ. You never know. And when we're the light, and when we're loving people as Christ loved us, we'll give them the gospel. Amen? Amen. And thanks.